Praise the Lord. It's time for Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones.
Got to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord.
As the world at large is living in fear over the pandemic, and protests are breaking out across the nation, taking a stance for social justice, know that God is still in control. He promised to never leave us or forsake us. Therefore, as believers, we have this assurance from heaven. Our God is working all things for our good and for His glory. Trust the Lord. In today's message, Pastor Joel reminds us to keep our eyes on Jesus and to live our lives in a way that pleases the Father. Let's listen as Pastor Joel concludes the teaching series, If Not You, Who?
You know that the devil is coming against the church. He's trying to push a doctrine into the church, even into the school system where our children are. They're pushing transgenderism like it's okay, all right? Like the children don't have an option and that type of thing. They won't tell you that there are Christians who's been homosexual all their lives, came to Christ, took them 15 to 20 years to come out of it. Some people, it took them 4 years to come out of it, but they're no longer homosexual. They won't tell you that. The man said, I tried everything. He said, I tried everything to kick this. He said, I didn't want to be that way. Ever since I was a little effeminate boy, he said, but when I got with Christ, he said, and I stayed with him, he said, I can say that Jesus saved me. He took me out of this. He said, I was growing up wanting to be, I was suicidal. I had suicidal tendencies because I didn't want to be like this. He said, when I was young, they didn't have these sex changes. He said, if they had it then, he said, I would have changed my sex to a woman. And he said, because that's what I felt like. He said, but I'm so glad that they didn't have it then, because now I'd have been stuck in something else and not known Jesus. You see what I mean? So the devil comes against the churches in a big way in these things, because we lead with our hearts and say, it's okay, it's all right. Instead of saying, you can go to Christ and Jesus will help you out. Jesus will fix you. We're all broken. We're all from the land of misfit toys. You know, somebody needs a foot. Somebody needs an arm. Somebody needs a little, mechanical hat screwed up the right way. We're all the toys from the land of misfit toys, but the toy maker, the creator, the potter who shaped us and molds us can fix you. He can put your arm back on. He can glue you back together. He can take out what's in you that's not supposed to be there and put the right thing in it. He can give you back what the devil stole from you before you were born. So the church, the devil knows how to come against the church, and we know these things. But there are some other examples of misconduct that we need to talk about. We know these big things tarnish the church. We know that. But they got the little foxes, the little things, misconduct, which serve to tarnish your testimony as a minister of God. Again, not necessarily a person holding the office of pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, apostle, deacon, whatever, but even a lay member of the church. As I said last week, even if you don't have an assigned ministry, you've been assigned to ministry. Even if the church didn't assign you a ministry, God has assigned you as a minister. That's what you got to understand. You have responsibilities which are to be adhered to if you consider yourself to be one who is available to spread the word of God. And that's all of us. Here's an example of how Christians ruin their testimony. Do more harm to the church than good. Listen to this one. Christians who profess to live lives holy and consecrated to the Lord while in the church, but after church, they head straight to the nightclub, the lounge, the tavern, the speakeasy. Do they still call it the speakeasy? Okay, that's good. I never understood that word. What's so easy about it? Speakeasy. Whatever name by which it's called, they go to these places. They're Christians. I told you, Pastor Annalisa and I worked as a R&B artist before I was saved. And she didn't, but because she was nice even then. Boy, I talked about me some Christians. Y'all know a place called Sweet Jimmy's in Oakland? Y'all remember Sweet Jimmy's? Yeah, you went to Sweet Jimmy's. I went to Sweet Jimmy's. We did shows at Sweet Jimmy's. You remember Sweet Jimmy, right? His big brother, right? And we had this club in Oakland. And we would go to Sweet Jimmy's on a Sunday. Now, I'm doing R&B. I ain't never been in the I don't go to church. I don't know anything about it. But I would go to Sweet Jimmy's, and they gave us a gig on Sunday evening. I said, who's going to come in the club on a Sunday? But it worked for me because I was off. I was still doing police work. So we on the weekends, I moonlit and doing our shows. So I would come in Sweet Jimmy's on a Sunday. Nobody in there. We setting up equipment in the band. Whose stupid idea was this to come into a nightclub on a Sunday at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock? 6:30, they start coming in. Lines of them, partying, just dancing, drinking, smoking. So where do these folks come from? They say, oh, that's the church club. That's the church group. I go, what? Yeah, all Christians, all decked out, doing what people do that aren't Christians, coming all out rooms in the club. Some of them just sitting there high, just buzzed. Christ followers. Do you see why it took me so long to come to? Why would I want to go to that? I can stay sober and have a good time. I don't need to come to church to learn that. I see it, see you doing it. Why would I go to church with you? So I can turn out that way? Jesus, if Jesus is in you, how come you acting like that? She just mentioned a place in Chicago called the 50-yard line. That's some humor in that, because you know you're in between when you're on the 50-yard line. You're straddling right in the middle. She got relatives that still go there, and they're straddling, and they're Christians. So again, that's a way to tarnish your testimony, but we do it almost absentmindedly. It's almost like a tradition. We won't let it go. They had to tear Sweet Jimmy's down. No more Sweet Jimmy's. They probably go somewhere else now. Sour Sam's, but sweet, or something like that. Sweet Sally's, but Sweet Jimmy's is no more. But what I'm saying is that we do those things. We go out and we have parties and we party hardy, like I said, like it's 1999. But we do all those things. And then on top of that, we add insult to injury, right? Many of these same Christians, for whatever strange demonic reason, they love to post it on Facebook. Why? 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 Why would you do that? Who told you to do that?
Well, the Lord said whatever is hidden will be real.
You ain't hiding. We all know you're doing these things. Why put it on Facebook? Social media. Is that it? Social media. You know, I don't know much about it. I'm just learning this stuff. But why put it out there if you profess to know God, saying you've been called by God, yet there you are, bigger than life, on Facebook. Your photo. All the time. Why you? Just not. I'm trying to figure this out. Y'all help me if I'm missing something. Why? There you are on Facebook and all your revelry. Drunk or somebody else drunk with you. Liquor bottles all around you. Got on an I Love Jesus shirt. Why? Come on, church. Y'all got to tell me about this. I ain't been saved for 14 years, so I'm trying to learn. What, why? And that's not even good enough. If the photos ain't good enough, now you got videos. They put movement with it now. It ain't enough to just look at you. You want them to see everything about you. Putting it on video. Got the nerve to load up some videos of your revelry. I don't even know how they do that. I don't even know how you load it up. That look like that takes some thought. That takes some time. You had to get on that internet and do some things to put a video on there. Maybe the young people know. I don't even know how you all do that. You don't have a ministry in the church, but you got a ministry on Facebook, huh? Because that takes some work. Putting it in there, start it right here. Now, run that part. Okay, now y'all film it. I don't know how you do that. If you're going to do that, take that much effort, why don't you do that in church? Why don't you say, why don't you come there in church and do it? So that's how you know it's not of God. I don't care how you slice it. Well, you can't judge me. Don't stop it. Stop it. Stop that if you can't judge you stuff. Y'all stop that. You need to be judged the right way, righteously. That's what we're talking about, righteous judgment. Okay? I'm just saying, we're family. We can talk about this. We got to talk about it, because if we don't, the devil will continue making fools out of the church. Come on, y'all. That's not God's ministry. I know that much. It's not God's ministry. If it is one, it's your own self-created Facebook, Twitter ministry, or whatever it is, video ministry. But if it's not glorifying God, who is it glorifying? I ask you that, okay? I've seen so-called Christians on Facebook rump shaking, hips rotating to the sound of Nasty Girl and other things, and put it all on Facebook and then say, I love Jesus. You love Jesus? I love God. You love? Put it right down Facebook. Boy. And you know, when you see something like that, what does it cause you to do? You say, let me go to this person's profile page. And you go to the profile page, and guess what? First thing they bring up is Jesus. Selling Jesus hats. Got Jesus hats on, everything else. Lord, I ain't nowhere in there. Don't you see the devil laughing at us? Don't you see he's laughing at us? He's laughing at us, okay? Remember, the Bible says God is not mocked. How much of this is God going to allow? What is it about dressing up and putting on the tightest, most revealing, two size, too small dress with a push-up bra? Put that on. Practically got you behind in the camera. Lips with this motion. I can't do it. I don't wear lipstick. But everything out there as if, what is this about taking pictures from the top? I love Jesus. Come on, y'all. Come on. If I don't tell it, who's going to tell it if I don't tell the truth? Tell me if I'm lying. Y'all know. Who you going to witness to? Who's going to believe you know the Lord? I mean, you might attract some unsaved people, but get this, they ain't coming to see Jesus. They're approaching you, but they're approaching for something else. The devil just laughing at you. He's just laughing at you. Come on, y'all. Some of y'all are caught up in this game. And you know what? This is what I noticed. I'm just reporting the news. Don't get mad at me. But I do my homework. What I do is I look in there and I start seeing the blogs. They say comments. So I go, boop. Whole list of people. A whole list of other Christians saying, you go, girl. Oh, girl, you shaking it up. Oh, girl, you so hot. Oh, man. And then I look at their profile, boop. And they go, I love God. And there they go. They got the same thing. And the devil just slapping his leg laughing. This is who you sending out, Jesus? To all the nations, send them out there. They'll all be on Facebook. You see? Think about it, y'all. It's called commitment to the Lord. I got to say it. Fellas, y'all ain't getting out either. Oh, no, 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 no. Whoa, no, no, no. Look on there and you see these guys talking with all kinds of gang signs. And talking about, yeah, Jesus. Yeah, I'm with Jesus. And pants hanging all down to their knees. I saw a brother, a man. I ain't saying any black or white. Y'all are brothers to me. I don't try to get me on that one. I saw a man, the leader in the church. Leader in the church. Seen him on the platform several times. I was shocked. He was talking to women on the internet, on Facebook, using language that you wouldn't use in a strip club. And he's a Christ follower, a leader. Well, these people claim to hear from God. Some people say they hear from God. They have a calling. And they're obedient. They're obedient to God, yet they won't assemble themselves in church. That's another thing we do. We talk about God and talk about furthering the kingdom. How? Where? I don't see you. You don't come. You don't assemble yourself. How can you say that you can take the word out? How do you not come to the church where you said the Lord sent you, yet you have a Bible study somewhere else? How are you going to do it? Does it make sense? I've seen some people actually say they teach classes elsewhere. I said, that's funny. They never learned at their church. How? How? How can we do anything if we neglect to assemble ourselves as the Lord says? How? When we're supposed to be obedient to the Lord. How can we do all these right and do one wrong? Something that important to assemble yourselves in the church. We got to think about these things. And when we say we hear from the Lord, well, why didn't he tell you that? And who told you to do the other thing? Are you sure you're hearing from the Lord? Or do we hear what we want to hear sometimes? Yes. This is what we got to think about. Yes. I'm telling you because I got to tell you, and I love you, and the Lord put it in me and gave me this to tell the church. Okay? God has assigned people. God has assigned overseers over you. Nobody can float on their own out there and call. Where's the accountability if you don't come to church? Who do you answer to if you make up your own ministries as you go along? How can you be held accountable when the test comes? God is about order. He's about preparedness for the appointed time in order to properly prepare you for what he wants you to do in the churches, okay? This is important. All right. Now, these are just a few examples of behavior that works against the advancement of the kingdom of God and that's associated with our church today. I could go on, but we run out of time. But I think you all know what this requires is for us to self-assess ourselves. Say, am I doing that? Could it be that I'm doing that? Could it be? I never thought of it that way. If we don't voice these things, the devil will get us, and he'll continue to get us to do the things of the world. But if I don't speak on it, I'm not doing my job as a mouthpiece or as a disciple of Christ. Now, before I close, I'm going to ask Pastor Annalisa to give us something else that we can take with us before we leave. But there was something else that I wanted to say, and I just went right by me. But we talked about these things, and we've talked about them before. We talked about our artists. We've talked about our gospel people. We've talked about shadowing the world, trying to be like the world instead of being like Christ. We have to be careful of these things. But, Pastor, take us to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 26 to 31, please.
Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 to 31 tells us, For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins.
Did you hear that? Do you understand that?
For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins.
That means you've got the word, you know, but you still do what you want to do. Okay, go ahead.
But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries.
Do you know what that means? That means that that's what you can expect. You better believe it. And you ought to be scared. That's what it's saying. Keep moving.
Verse 28. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace.
All right, stop there for a minute. That's what it means. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? In other words, they're saying God has said that you deserve to get punished. But you trampled his Son. Every time we do something outlandishly wrong against Christ and purport ourselves to be Christians, we trample Jesus all over. We re-crucify the Lord. That's what that's talking about. Okay, go ahead, Pastor.
Verse 30. Mm-hmm. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Mm-hmm. 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
All right. Thank you so much. So that's, if we're Christ followers, if we are the people that we proclaim to be, that we purport to be, then we ought to be living, at least striving to live that way. Some things we can help you all. Some things we just do because we like to do them. Some things we do because we want to imitate the world. We want to have one foot in the world and one foot in Christ. Some of these things that I've been talking about, okay? And, you know, I quote this scripture all the time, 1 Corinthians 10:21. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons, all right? You can't do it. You can't partake at the Lord's table and the table of demons. It says if you do, you provoke the Lord to jealousy, and that's what this word is talking about. See, this word is true. We got people that refuse to come. They refuse to do what the Lord wants them to. That's the devil pulling you away. That's the devil telling you that you can't, you don't even need the word. It just bores you. It's just, I just can't deal with it today. Who do you think telling you that? Jesus? And you were born again in Christ. Come on, you all. We got to step up. We got to do this, okay? So this is the, don't worry about it. If you're doing these things, this is, I like to say this scripture right here, it's a wake up church type of scripture. Okay, that's all it is. This scripture is a wake up church type of scripture. That's what it is. Yeah. It's the if the shoe fits, wear it type of scripture. Yeah. If it's not your size, if it's not you, don't worry about it. If it is you, at least you know that you're in the wrong arena. You need to get it right with God. That's what it's saying. Okay, either way is good because we learn. Amen. Hey, we learn. Okay, we need to get it right with God. Because God's judgment begins in the house of the Lord. That's right, Sister Karen. He said it. It's going to begin right here. So in closing, just let me say this. God has never wavered. He's looking for those whose hearts are truly turned to him so that they can spread the gospel, resulting in others' hearts being turned to him as well. You see how that works? That's what he's looking for. So as Christians, we need to be doing all we can to represent the Lord as he has directed. Okay, we owe him that much. Don't you believe that? We owe him that much. Amen. For if not you, who? If you're a Christ follower, are you ready to spread the word? Are you ready to go out? Are you ready to do what God wants you to do? How's your life? How's your walk? Is there anything that we can tighten up on and do better? I'm not saying we're perfect. None of us are perfect. But the things that we can change, the things that we can do, that we know to do, let's do them. The next time we get the urge to do something immoral or to go to that place that's going to cause you to have a DUI and say, let go, there goes another Christian. We can see it. He's wearing a cross and he's got sentenced to 20 years in prison for murder. The next time we do something, before you do it, say, Lord, help me in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Scripture says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I pray you've been enlightened and you're committed to live a life worthy of your calling. Amen. Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide, trust the Lord to draw you, protect you, and keep you healthy and strong. During these troubling times, know that God is with us and will bring us through victoriously. If you're feeling alone, frustrated, or in need of encouragement, our prayer warriors are here and ready to pray with you. Give us a call at 707-759-5244. You're listening to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored in part by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. We love hearing from our listeners. Connect with us on Facebook. Submit comments, prayer requests, and praise reports on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. And if Pastor Joel's messages are ministering to you, let us know. Simply drop us a note at our contact page. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord continues to strengthen you as you follow him. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program. All financial donations are tax-deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button on our website to give today. As a friendly reminder, all on-site services have been canceled until the shelter-in-place order is lifted. Sunday worship services are available on Periscope at 1 p.m. and available on YouTube and on SpiritOfTruthChurchWorldwide.com. We also invite you to join us for prayer at 7 p.m. and Bible study at 8 p.m. Wednesdays as we walk through the Bible together. And don't forget to tune into Miracles of God next week for another powerful message from Pastor Joel. Until next time.